my car in my glove box, so if you want to stop by the silver Honda Accord out there afterwards, there might be, I doubt that there's a tasty cake in there, but there may be in my glove box a power bar from two, you know, and power bars, they have a half-life of 2.5 million years, right? So it'll be good. No matter what the expiration date is on it, it'll be good. So I thanks Jen for reading that passage of scripture this morning. It just kind of reminded us in reviews last week when we talked about prayer being that first lifeline from heaven. And it reminds us that when Jesus gives us lifelines, when he gives us spiritual rhythms and patterns, he does that not so that we can show off in front of others, but so we can get connected with the Father in heaven. And so I just wanted to remind you of that this morning, that when the Father, who sees what we do in secret, whether we're praying, fasting, worshiping, in community, giving to the poor, whatever we're doing, when our Father, who sees what is done in secret, he rewards us. Our reward for engaging in these different spiritual disciplines is that intimacy with God. So let's just read this out loud together. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, last week, I gave you this quote from Pete Scazzaro. We live in a blizzard, and few of us have a rope. Okay, I gave you that quote, and then I told you the story about in the Midwest, in days gone by, when the winter season was coming up, farmers would take a rope and they would tie it off from their barn door, somewhere near their barn door, across the yard over to their house, so that when sudden blizzards and storms came up, they could grab that rope and find their way from the barn to the house or the house to the barn. The problem was that many farmers wouldn't estimate the right time of year, so they'd forget to tie off the rope. They'd get caught up in many other things. Any of you like that? Get caught up in the demands of the urgent, and you forget to do something that's pretty important. And so they would find themselves without a rope in a blizzard. And so that's what Pete Scazzaro is saying here. We live in kind of this cultural time of blizzard, and we don't have a rope that leads us back home to God. And we see in Acts 13, 1 through 3, that the early followers of Jesus found this rope. They found this rope in the middle of the blizzard. They were able to take hold of it. And so it's a four-stranded rope. And so there's these four rhythms that we're talking about that connect heaven and earth. The reason I'm talking to you about them at the very beginning of our transitional time together is these cords of this rope are what's going to help you as a congregation. They're going to help your search committee. They're going to help your leadership. They're going to help your staff all begin to work together to hear one voice, the voice of the Lord. In Acts 13, we see five varied people doing these four things to hear one voice. To hear one voice. And so we're going to keep coming back to these over and over again. By the time that I'm done here, you're going to say, "Oh, Joel, take your rope and go back to Mechanicsburg, please." Because you hear me challenging you, taking times to stop and observe these four different patterns or lifelines from heaven. So in the middle of the blizzard, when you find yourself overwhelmed, distracted, disoriented in the culture around you, you know, fasting is a rope that connects us back to God again. It's a rope that connects us back to God again. Can you bump up to that next slide? Shoot, keep going. There you go. So in the middle of the blizzard of life, when you find yourself overwhelmed, disoriented, distracted by the culture around you, fasting is the rope that connects you with God again. Fasting is a rope that connects you with God again. Just the other week, I was with my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, he stays pretty fit. He's a tall guy. I imagine Ron's about 6'4", 6'5", served in the U.S. military and as a pilot and then as a captain and as an admiral, had to keep himself in pretty good shape. So Ron's always... he's a couple years older than me. He's always keeping himself in good shape. And so I saw him and we were talking and I said, "How are you staying in shape these days?" And he said, "Let me show you my app. It's my fasting app." And he clicked on his phone and he opened up his fasting app and he says, every night at 8 o'clock, I stop eating and I don't eat the next day until noon. And I fast that time and it's really helping me. And this is what's going on with my body right now. And he had put in all of his stats into the app. And he could tell me what his blood pressure was and what his weight is and his height and all these different things about his app and all these things about he's tracking with his body on his app. And so we know that fasting, what? It has good effects on our body at times. This interval fasting, this time of fasting, we know that our body is not made for like just continual consumption, but we need to take time for fasting. So we kind of know this generally, and we even have apps for our phone that remind us when to eat, when not to eat, when to take this, when not to take that. My father-in-law was in the same conversation. He said, I don't have a fasting app on my phone, but I have an app on my phone that tells me when to take my meds. And about that time, it went beep, 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 beep. We're like, Dad, what's that? He's like, oh, that's Coumadin. That'll keep those blood clots at bay. You know, he's got some deep vein thrombosis. So we know that fasting is important, even just physiologically. But I want to ask you this morning, I want to answer this question, and I want to look into the story, part of the story of Daniel this morning. And that's the reason that I didn't have Jen read a scripture reading from Daniel, because she'd still be reading it right now. Because it's going to take a couple of chunks of Daniel's life in order to talk about what are the effects of and why fast. Why fast? Why take the time for fasting? So the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning is this. Why fast? We fast to connect with God in a distracting world. We fast to connect with God in a distracting world. In Daniel 1, in verses 3 through 7, it says this, that Daniel was taken into Babylonian captivity. He was a young leader. So it says this, that they were looking for people to serve in nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude of every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace in Babylon. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter into the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the chief official gave them new names: Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. So not only did they take them into captivity, they retrained these top young leaders for 3 years. 3 years of disorienting them, reorienting them, and then utilizing them to lead all of their people in a new orientation and a new disorientation from their way of life. The Babylonians were smart. They conquered people on the outside, and then they conquered them on the inside. And then they put them up before the rest of their people, and they had a heavy, strong influence. And they used what? The young, strong leaders to do this. They lived in a time, the ancient Israelites, of disorientation. It was like a domino effect of disorientation. This morning, I got up about 5:30, thought I'd go down, review my notes. I had my notes done. I'm just going to review them. I'm going to make a cup of coffee. It became a time of disorientation. 5:30 in the morning. By 6:15, my phone's dinging that somebody used my credit card overnight to try to charge something. Microsoft is trying to use my credit card to renew. Do I really need a renewal from Microsoft? And then my wife comes down. And I got three, you know, she comes down the steps. All I'm doing is trying to have a cup of coffee and review my notes so I can talk about distraction this morning. I'm living distraction. It was a domino effect of distractions. And I'm trying to finish my notes. I'm trying to get up. My wife's asking me, what time are you leaving today for Pittsburgh? And you're driving out there. And I'm like, I scarce can take it in this morning. And with that, our large dog comes in. He looks me up in the face and he hurls all of his food all over the kitchen floor. We live in a culture of distraction. And my wife, who is a nurse, she's like, I mean, she's cleaned up worse things than that, right? And I'm like, just go away. I'll clean it up. And I got in the car and I raced down here for 30 minutes of peace. Amen? So the ancient Israelites weren't living much differently in a culture. Sometimes we read the Bible and we go, oh, let's go back to when it was really simple. It never was simple. Have you read the Bible? It was never simple. Because we live in a distracting world that wants to what? Keep us from living out the principles of the kingdom of God. And so it's distracting us from the narrow road. Get on the wide path that leads to destruction, that has all of these different distractions, and it distracts us from the narrow way. It's interesting, though, that Daniel and his cohorts here, instead of being reformatted, instead of, you know, they're offered the king's food, the king's wine, the king's table, it's the best stuff. They say, no. We're going to fast that. And they do this kind of partial fast where they just eat fruits and vegetables and water. And they do eat something. They take in some substance, but they don't feast on the culture of the day. You know, we feast on everything. If you guys can pull up that next quote. We feast on everything. Food, music, news, social media, gaming, entertainment. It's a never-ending buffet of what we take in. Some of it's healthy, some of it's not so healthy. We keep on feasting, but what? We're never full, are we? MTV had it right. Music television had it right. Their original mantra was this: too much is never enough. Too much is never enough. And we believe it, and we eat it, so to speak, right? Too much is never enough. I just need more, more, more. Said this earlier. Some days I feel like I'm just managing distractions and interruptions. I've had a purposed plan for that day, and I'm like, man, am I ever even going to be able to get to the church building and preach this sermon? Domino effect of distraction in our culture, and we give into it. Right? Without even knowing it or thinking about it, we give into it. Fasting helps us focus on the non-negotiables, the things that are most important to the kingdom coming. Even the story this morning that Brad taught to our kids about fasting so that our little mouse friend could learn how to share the gospel with his rat friend. Fasting so that we can connect heaven and earth and help somebody else connect between heaven and earth. Fasting helps us to slow down. It helps us to pause and say, all the activity isn't going to get us there. Amen? All the activity, it's not going to get us there. But somehow inside of us, we believe that we're of more value. We're better people. We're good people if we just keep doing more. If we just keep it engaging in more. And Daniel reaches out to us today from years gone by. And he said, I was offered more. Choose less. Choose less. And take it in. The fast is good for us because it connects us with God again. A gal, Nanette Elkins, wrote a book called The Daniel Fast, and in it she goes through actually all the different fasts of the Bible. It's a pretty good little compendium devotionals in there. She wrote it like a devotional thing, and she has recipes in there for the Daniel fast, all kinds of things. I did it a few years ago with a group of my friends, and we read the book together, and we did it. And in it, she gives you this different type of fasting, but one of the things she says in the book is, the fast was one of the hardest things I have ever done in my life, but also one of the most victorious and liberating spiritual battles that the Lord has ever helped me win. And in the book, she says that because she says, I didn't realize how many appetites I had for other things. Not just food. She said it revealed the other appetites in my life. Let's read this verse together from John 6:35. Let's read it together. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. So why fast? Second reason is this. Why fast? To exchange temporal bread for eternal bread. Temporal bread for eternal bread. Daniel and his friends go on in their fasting and prayer in these spiritual lifelines from heaven that God's given them. Daniel, it says in Daniel 1:11-16, Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to do this, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine and that they were given to drink and gave them vegetables and water instead. So Daniel chooses this partial fast, and he actually makes a challenge, and he says, hey, I want you to give us just vegetables and water and let all the other people eat from the richest foods of the king's table. Now, I don't know if he checked this out with his buddies or not, but I imagine they were standing on the side going, ho, 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 ho. Hold on. We finally got a chance to be in. We're going to be in. We're in the new University of Babylon. In the University of Babylon, we get to eat at the right cafeteria. We get to study the arts. We get to go to the right places. We get to go to the museums. What are you saying? I want the cream-filled Twinkie cupcakes. Tasty cakes, right? Tasty cakes. And so they deny themselves that. They do this partial fast, and this partial fast, in it, they're saying, we are going to give up something that we would be drawn to so that we can instead be drawn to hearing the voice of the Lord. And we find out later in the story, they do hear the voice of the Lord. Amen? Even in some supernatural ways, they hear the voice of the Lord. So I want to ask you this question this morning. What does it look like to exchange the endless buffet of breads in this life for God's living bread? And when I say breads, I'm not just talking about food. We're going to get to this in a minute. Fasting isn't just about food. There are probably some more important things than we can fast that are distractions to the narrow way. Amen? It would probably be actually easier just to fast food. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And that may be something that God is calling you to do that. But I want to ask this question. You know, in the day, people would bake their own bread, right? Anybody here still bake their own bread? Okay, we got one person. Can you make some bread for us next week? Can we see you at coffee time and get your number? You know, my wife and I don't bake our own bread. At one time when we were younger, we did. We made our own sourdough bread. We made all kinds of breads and stuff for our kids. And now it's like Arnold rounds. We eat those Arnold round things. And we don't even eat enough of them. They get green in the drawer. You know, You get in a drawer and you're like, oh, penicillin. It'd be really good for me to eat this today, right? So, you know, it's been a long time since I've baked any bread or done the process of making like a sourdough bread or anything like that. I mean, I would have to reschool myself again. But if you think about it, in the day when you had to, you know, have the starter and then knead it and put it together and make the bread, and you're thinking about it, and then you smell it, and you have this whole process of going through the bread. You know, having daily bread back then took some time, amen, to make it. And so, if you were fasting daily bread in the day, you had more time. If you weren't kneading it, making it, doing it, you had more time. You had some more, okay, I'm fasting daily bread, so I have more time to be with God because I don't have to knead it, make it, let it rise. I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that. I'm not smelling it. I'm not tempted by it. I look in the drawer and that bread's green. I don't want it. So the point I'm making here is this. What takes up your time now? What eats up your time now? You're not making, we have one sister who's making bread, and she's going to make it for all of us. Thank you so much. Really pretty. You like how I volunteered you for that? What takes up your time now? What if you fasted it? It would give you some rhythms of time to connect with God. What sucks down your energy now and your time and your effort now? Fasting is the exchange of one desire for another desire. When we fast, we give up the desire to eat, to drink, to play, to view, to move, to sit, to sleep, for the desire to sit with God and hear His voice. Fasting is an exchange of bread, temporal bread for eternal bread. When I fast, I give up one desire to feed another desire. That desire is to be with God and to listen to His voice. What is sucking down your time that if you fasted it, you could do some systematic connecting with the Father again? And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, what? Will reward you with His presence, with His embrace, with His, man, I've missed you. I've missed you. I can tell you what it is for me. It's this. I have 3 email addresses on this little machine. I have Facebook on this little machine. I have Hulu on this little machine. I have text messaging on this little machine. I have my bank account on this little machine. That's why in the morning I can't even have a cup of coffee and finish my sermon notes without hearing about someone using my credit card. Now, I'm glad they let me know Microsoft is trying to rip me off. But I already knew that. Anybody who works for Microsoft, please forgive me. Here's what I'm saying. I get up in the morning, my first propensity before I get up out of bed and get coffee and read God's word is to grab this and check it. Do I have any text messages? Do I have any important emails? What do I need to do? What's my schedule? I have my schedule. I click on my calendar for the day. What am I doing? I'm getting consumed by the domino effect of distractions before I even begin my day. That's me. That's my confession. So part of my fast is going to be putting this thing back in my office at night, at the other end of the hallway, and not having it at my bedside, not picking it up first thing. I'll let my cat take my calls, amen? She's pretty good at that. Hey, puss, what happened? You know, take my calls and call back those people, and that'll be good, right? You know, sometimes I feel like, oh, I've got to be on all the time so that I'm dependable. You know what? If I evaporated today, the world would go on fine without me. Amen? Seriously. We're not that important. We're important to a few people, and some people would miss us, but you could replace me pretty quickly with somebody, and you would say, yeah, we like that guy, kind of. He's gone. It's nothing against me. I'm just saying, we're not that important, are we? In the scheme of things. So why do we live like we've got to be tethered to things like this all the time? My confession is, the pastor needs some fasting. Amen? What are you going to fast? What exchange of breads are you going to make? Is it fantasy football for part of the week, guys? Is it screen time? Is it series binging? Is it, what is it? What is it that pulls you in? When will you plan to do it? When will you? How will you remember to do it? And then most important thing is, once you've fasted, you need to reflect, what did I learn in the fast? What did I experience there? One guy came back to me one time after fasting. I said, what did you experience in the fast? He goes, I was just hungry. I was just hungry. So we kind of talked through that. And after we talked through that, he was like, oh, yeah, the Lord did talk to me about this and this and this. I said, why don't you just write those down? It's called journaling. Write down those two or three thoughts and just sit with them. Let's go back to this verse again, John 6:35. Let's read it out loud together. Jesus replied, let's read it. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Why fast? To experience supernatural insight from God. Daniel 1:17 says this, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and all kinds of learning. It wasn't even just supernatural literature, but he supernaturally gave them a knowledge of the literature and the things that they were learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. This lifeline of fasting gave Daniel and his called out companions supernatural insight that they wouldn't have had otherwise. They were sharper. Things were clearer. The fast does that for us. The Babylonian culture was chock full of distractions and diversions to the narrow way of the kingdom of God. So they set them aside so they could get on the narrow path and hear the voice of God for them. Daniel 1:20 says, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned him, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters of his whole kingdom. Now, can you imagine this? This king pulls them together. Daniel said, test us in this. They do test them. They exchange the food. They go on for 10 days. These guys are smarter. They're wiser. They're quicker. They're looking physically better. And so the king puts them to the test and he starts to ask them questions, and they are on the top of their game. They are 10 times beyond anybody else who's being trained. Can you imagine going into work this week and you being 10 times better at everybody else at work at what you do? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine maybe 10 more times more acute and more seeing what's going on, being kind of seeing the lay of the land of what's happening? It's kind of amazing what happens here. Can you imagine being 10 times sharper? Either you would get fired right away because everybody would envy you, or you would be promoted. One or the other, right? It's just going to go one way or the other. Fasting gives us supernatural insight into things that we didn't see before because we were just moving fast and the dominoes were falling. And we live in a distracting world. And what? We live in a blizzard, but few of us have a rope. And when you feel like, oh man, everything's swirling around me, grab the rope. Return to the fast. Put it down. Get some new patterns. Find some new ways of what? Stealing away into God's presence. Jesus did it all the time. He often went off to what? Deserted places to be with his Father. And they knew it, so they said, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to get away. Teach us how to have insight like you do. You see things beyond us. You see more clearly than we do. And in this day and age, and in this time of transition, for Mount Joy Mennonite Church, the Lord wants your leadership, the congregation, your staff, to have clear insight into the next steps for your church and your church family. And the way that you do it is you take hold of the rope. So I'm just going to say this. Maybe this could become a saying around here. Grab the rope. You know, when you're talking to somebody and someone say, man, I'm down, doobie-doo, down. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. And it's not a condemning thing. It's a, hey, let's grab the rope. Hey, sister, let's grab the rope. And then you just pray together. You fast together. You worship together as a community. In Acts 13, 1 through 3, five people doing four things to hear one voice. Praying, fasting, worshiping in community. They enjoyed the intimacy with God. They heard his voice, and they knew the next steps they needed to take. Nanette Elkins says this near the end of her book, fasting changes us, it strengthens us, it molds our character, it changes our heart, our mind, and our soul. It gives us direction and wisdom. It clears things up that were muddy before. It clears things up that were muddy before. Daniel 6:13 says this, then they told the king, this is those reporting back who had tested the men, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. I submit to you, Daniel had a rigorous schedule beyond ours. Amen? But there were three times a day where Babylonians took a break. He took a break to be with the Lord. He made that time to be with the Lord. He set a time, that time to be with the Lord, and he was clear as to what the Lord wanted him to do. In our closing moments this morning, I want us just to take a minute to look at this verse that's been coming up on the screen a couple of different times. And I want us to pause, to reflect on it, to ask the Lord any question you have about it, and then to yield to his presence by looking at this verse and just letting it soak in this morning. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now just pause, read it, and reflect on it. Now just ask God any question that you have that arose from reflecting on the verse. Now, if you would just open your hands like this and it's just a sign of yielding to the Lord, and I'll read this prayer over you. Lord, we live in a day of distraction that keeps us off the narrow path of life. It pushes us toward the broad path of destruction. This week, we commit to take hold of the lifeline of fasting, and as we do, please come. Remove distracting thoughts. Feed us the bread of heaven. Give us insight to guide us through the storm. We thank you for the lifeline of fasting. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen.
Well, thank you, Joel, for that